Amen. Mercies are new every morning. And they're called sure mercies. So that's good too. Amen. If you have your, you know, last week I was just sitting home this afternoon thinking about, last week I started talking about the heart a little bit when we were talking about the gospel according to Paul and how the word heart and the word spirit are interchangeable oftentimes in the word of God. But I just felt that we need to dig into that a little bit more. Okay? Amen. So if you have your Bibles, open up to first Hebrews chapter 4. Father God, we praise you tonight. We thank you. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 11. Father God, we just praise you tonight and thank you for your word. Thank you that it's going to fall on good soil, Father God, and you'll give me clear and distinct direction on how to go tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week we did talk about it, and again, there was a supplement that I wanted to do to that teaching, and I didn't get to it, but I think it's important that we understand how this whole thing works in our life, about our spirit. Again, we're talking about the gospel according to Paul, and we're talking about the spirit concept, the pneuma concept, spirit, soul, and body. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Now, it says here, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he believeth." And the Greeks, we said, they have two different words for heart, and they have a separate word for heart and a separate word for spirit. Spirit is the word pneuma. Okay, remember last week we talked about getting Martinized? Well, you're going to get pneumonized. Okay, that's what we were talking about last week. But the word heart comes from the word cardia. Cardiologist, heart attack. I guess we could call that a cardiac attack. But again, it's refers to the human heart. And one of the things that And I don't have a problem with interchanging the words. I just think you're going to run across scriptures that tell you where heart and spirit are used in the same verse. And I know that my spirit's redeemed. My spirit cannot sin. My spirit is not evil. And my spirit is not divided. Those things are concepts in the Word of God that belong to us. But you're going to run across scriptures like the one I just read that says that shall not doubt in his heart. So that tells me something. It's implying something here tonight that if we can doubt in our heart, we can believe in our heart. Amen. All right? So there you have that word. And then when you think about, when I start thinking about these things and I realize that substituting spirit for heart doesn't always work, okay? And a lot of times that can bring confusion in people's lives, okay? And but when we're born again, we have a perfect spirit. Our spirits are made perfect. And it logically follows that a perfect spirit cannot in any way, shape, or form doubt. Your spirit can't sin. All right? These things just can't happen. So, but then the spirit cannot take the place of the heart in every scripture that we look at. So what I want to bring out, there's other scriptures. I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures, then we'll come back and just tie this all together. Psalm chapter 12, verse 2, warns us not to have a double heart. Okay? A double heart. Psalm 73, you could just write these down. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 73, verse 7 says that we are told that our heart can wish. We can wish things in our heart. Proverbs 6:18 says the Lord hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Now, I ask you, can you devise wicked imaginations in your spirit? Can't do it. So, I mean, I just can't fathom that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. And that there, you know, our spirit doesn't need to study. Our spirit needs to get filled with the Word of God, but it doesn't study. Okay? Now, you say, what's going on here? And here's one of the, here's the clinger, the clincher scripture. Hosea chapter 10, verse 2. God says, they're talking about Israel, their hearts are divided. All right. So, and I know that's all Old Testament. I realize that. But now Mark chapter 2, verse 8, you find heart and spirit again in the same verse. They're both there. And it says, in verse 8, it says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto thee, why reason these things in your heart? So here we have, you can't substitute spirit. Right, it says Jesus perceived in his spirit. His spirit was telling us something. Remember, we talked about this last week, how our spirit is the communications, all right? Between our conscience is the communication between our spirit and our mind. And you see, all this works together. All of it works together. I mean, I'm not trying to like put any kind of weird doctrine out there. It's all part of it because we live in a world that's based on the five emotions. We have psychologists. We have psychiatrists. We have, you know, spiritual mediums out there. I mean, you have a whole gamut of baloney out there, okay? But again, so according to that verse, you perceive with your spirit. You perceive. Well, oftentimes you'll hear preachers saying, I have a knowing in my spirit. I heard Brother Hagin say this many times. I have a knowing in my heart. But what he was talking about is he had a perception in his spirit. He perceived something in his spirit. So he used those words interchangeably, and most of us understood what he meant, you know, about the difference between them. And so when you start looking at these things, you start asking, is there a fourth part? Are we a spirit, soul, body, and we have a heart? You know? But it's three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, actually, it refers to an evil heart of unbelief. And it almost gets complicated, but it's really not. It's really simple. Complicated. So then you have 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 4, and this is what puts it together. This is where you find out, and in Hebrews chapter 4, you find it out, that it says, but let the hidden man of the heart, which is not incorruptible, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. So what we find out here, contained within the heart is the spirit. Okay, contained, and I know we talked about it last week. I just felt impressed to come back and do it again. And in the heart, we have the soul. All right, so they're both contained in our heart, in our innermost being. And really, when the Word of God refers to our heart, it's referring to the spirit and the soulish realm. All right, and in the soulless realm is where we have our emotions, we have our psyche, and all those types of things. And you say, why is this important? Well, if we get far enough tonight, you'll see why it's real important. And my whole major thing here is this. You need to be led by your spirit. Paul says, I bring myself into subjection. The I was his spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Talks about I discipline my flesh and bring it into subjection. And Paul was talking about the real person, his spirit. Amen? Okay. So the spirit isn't the whole heart. It's part of the heart. Okay? The hidden man, again, is only part. But here's what happens. The Word of God puts a lot of emphasis on the mind. You read, I have a whole one, I'll do a sermon on it, about the mind and how the only way Satan could really get to you is through your mind. That is the only way, unless he just pops up out of the woodwork in your house one night and says, here I am. But for the most part, he's dealing with you in your mind. All right? Now, and this is where he attacks us. This is where he attacks. He can't get a hold of your spirit. There's no way the devil can grab a hold of your spirit. Because once you're born again, you're created. God has created your spirit. You're his child. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. There is absolutely no way that the devil can overtake your spirit. He will overtake your mind, and your mind will overtake your body, but he'll never overtake your spirit. There's a verse of scripture. Oh, Lord, help me where it is. I think it's 1 Corinthians. I remember when we first started a church, I had some woman challenge me on this and caught me off guard. But if I could find it, if I can't find it, then we won't worry about it. I don't know. Anyway, I know it's in 1 or 2 Corinthians. Is it 2 Corinthians? You know which verse I'm talking about? And anyway, it talks about having a dirty spirit. And really, when you read the whole thing in context, it's talking about immorality. And it's one of those times you have to distinguish you got to rightly divide the word of God. A believer can't have a dirty spirit. Could have a dirty mind and do dirty things, but he can't have a dirty spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And it had to be, and the whole context was they were living in immorality and all those types of things. So when we read the Word of God, we got to. I know when I sit down and I read the Word of God, I say, God, and when I study, I say, Lord, show me contextually what's going on here. You know, who's it being written to? Why is he writing it to them? What was the background? What was going on? You know, read 1 and 2 Corinthians. They were the most craziest people on the planet. There was more sexual immorality and everything else happening in Corinth. They worshiped the god Diana, and they had high priests in the temple and all these things. And yet, Paul says, the Corinthians came behind in no spiritual gift. And that's another thing people do. They see somebody operating the gifts of the Spirit, and they think, wow, they're real spiritual. Not necessarily. Amen? Amen? So, you know, we got to, remember that just because somebody's spiritual or appears to be spiritual, they could be living a double life. All right? It's just the way it is. But it doesn't mean that their spirit's tainted. It means their mind's never been renewed to the things of God. All right? Okay. So, he can't, but Satan can grab your mind. Boy, and it'll get you going contrary to God's word every time. And that happens, if your spirit's not built up, if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost and you're not reading the Word of God, when that happens, your spirit is powerless over that. It's powerless. Romans chapter 2, verse 29 says this, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he's bringing something out here. It's talking about the flesh. It's talking about how the flesh operates. The flesh operates through your five senses, through your mind. And that's why people get in trouble. Okay? And that's why Paul says, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. Okay? And Paul said, those who are born again are children of God, whether they're a Jew, whether they're a Gentile. circumcision or no circumcision, we all worship God in the Spirit. You cannot worship God in the flesh. It's impossible. But you say, oh, but the music just moves me. It's moving your flesh. You could only worship God in the Spirit from your heart. The music is just a vehicle that gets us there. So he says, we'll worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. You can't trust the flesh. You just can't trust it, you know? Paul is basically saying, I serve God in the Spirit, or pneuma. All right? Romans chapter 8 says this, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. Think about that for a minute. See, you really can't serve God with your mind. You know what? People do a lot of good things. You know why they do good things? You know? Because it makes their flesh feel good. Bottom line. And it's okay to do that. Don't misunderstand me. But what's the motivation behind it? All right? You see, our minds have to be set on things of the Spirit. Your mind needs to be pumanized, needs to be washed. You need to take it to the cleaner of the Holy Spirit and let him pumanize you. For you younger folks that never saw pumanized, never saw a one-hour Martinized, too bad. But your mind needs to get clean. Amen. All right? Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2 to 4 says about the renewing of the mind, thinking on those things which are above and not on things of the earth. That's what we need to do. And you could take the realities of the realm of the Spirit and bring them into your life and clean your mind and get your mind set free. All right? We have authority. We have spiritual authority. Adam had dominion. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you find out Adam had dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth. So he had it all over the creeps and everything. He had this dominion, but it was conditional. All right? It was conditional. His spirit had to stay in fellowship with God. That's all right? And when spiritual separation came to Adam, spiritual death, he lost his dominion. He had no dominion anymore. And so we're a spirit. And where did Adam's dominion come from? His spirit. You know, it says he walked with God in the cool of the night. He fellowshipped with him. Well, he fellowshipped with him in his spirit. You understand? And so when we're born again, when we receive Jesus, our spirits are recreated and that dominion is restored. Our dominion functions through our spirit. It don't function through your head. That's why you called out in the name of Jesus, because your head wasn't working at that moment in time. And guess who showed up? Jesus. Amen. But it functions through our inward man, our spirit. And I'm sorry, you just can't operate. You cannot operate God's dominion through your flesh or your mind. It does not work. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. And your soul and your mind, they are so close related because they house your in your heart. Sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. Sometimes it's hard to figure out if it's your spirit or your head. Am I right? That's where Hebrews chapter 4 comes in. All right. Praise God. Oh, and guess what? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living, the word of God is powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is a sword. We call it the sword of the Spirit. It'll fillet you. just cuts it all open. You can't hide nothing from God. All right? And piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. And the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Because in your heart is where your soul is, and that's where all your emotions, all your thinking, everything takes place. So now God has something. That's why a person who's not saved, they can't tell their spirit from their, they just do whatever they're doing because they're not saved. But us, we have something here. We have the rule. We have the stick that separates that soulish realm and that spiritual realm. But guess what? If we don't ever hook into it, we'll just be led by the soulish realm. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians out there that are led by the soulish realm. But it's only the Word of God that can separate the soul and the spirit, the flesh. The Greek word for flesh is the word soma. Remember that pill Somanex? Take it so you can go to sleep. Put your flesh to sleep is what it does, okay? Somanex, that's it, Somanex. But the flesh can overwhelm the soul, the psyche. Your flesh could do that. You think you're in control of your life. You got it going. Everything's going good. And then suddenly your flesh steps in. Something happens. It could be anything under the planet. And you start doing things you don't understand. You even know better because your flesh is overwhelming you and it's controlling your mind. Suggestions, ideas, pressures come against you from the flesh. And then the mind goes nuts. Mind starts thinking about it. How many of you ever remember the old Dirty Harry movies? You know, I always use this example. I used to watch Dirty Harry, and I'd go out there and speed around Tom's River with my car. A suggestion. I wasn't saved back then, but do you understand what I mean? All right. So, but after you're born again, you have a new pathway, a new channel, your spirit. You know, in your physical body, and I'm learning a little bit about nutrition. I am by no far expert, but they always use this word pathway. You know, how different nutrients and stuff take different pathways to heal your body. Well, we only had one pathway before we were saved, a dead spirit, and the only thing we could rely on was our flesh and our soulish realm. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. But now we have a new pathway. We have a new channel, and it's the Holy Ghost. And that will help us truly be overcomers. All right? And so now that we're born again, Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Hallelujah. So what happens is your pneuma, your spirit, broadcasts things to your soul, such as deliverance, redemption, righteousness. And your Bible shows you everything on the pneuma channel. This is the channel for your spirit. You know, some people watch HBO, Showtime, and USA, and Fox News, and the continuous negative news, and all these different things. Well, now, we have the pneuma channel. It's right here. Never get you wrong. Keep you going straight. Amen? And so, what we have here, everything that we need for life and godliness is written right in the Bible. Everything. We're lacking nothing. The problem is we need to sit and do it. All right? How many have heard the word of psychosomatic? Now, I wish I could say this was original with me, but it's not. All right? But, so psyche is the Greek word for soul, and it's where we get the word psychosomatic. And we know people have psychosomatic problems. Right? They have problems with their mind. and the mind or the soul can have, and they have, and has awesome power over our body. I had an aunt, she's gone home to be with the Lord many, many years ago. She got in a car accident, didn't get hurt or nothing. All of a sudden, her mind started telling her her clothes were too big for her. And I used to look at her and I used to say, they're not, you know? When she got to the place where she had to end up going into like a nursing home because her mind just went, her psyche took over her flesh and she got sick. Hello? Simply, your thinking affects your body, all right? Psychosomatic illnesses originate in the soul and they affect the body, or they originate in the mind. And see, here's what professionals can't do. They can't treat the body when somebody has a psychosomatic illness. They have to try to change their way of thinking. So they start giving them drugs, psychosomatic drugs. I'm not saying it's bad or it's good. I'm just saying that's the only way they know how to treat an illness so that they're level, okay? And usually you find out when people are on those kind of drugs, if they stop taking them, they get a little squirrely, all right? So they just can't treat the body. They have to persuade them to change their way of thinking. Sometimes they have to give them medicine, all right? Because the challenge is really in their mind. You say, wow, I didn't know we were coming to medical school tonight. Trust me, you're not. Remember I said Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says that the carnal mind is enmity with God. You know, see, you can develop your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions to a degree where they'll exercise authority over your body. Okay? And to some degree, your mind is more powerful than your body. That's why people do some of the crazy things that they do. They're just overwhelmed. And listen, I heard a minister say this one day. He said, if it's possible to have a psychosomatic illness, then it's possible to have a pneumosomatic healing. Some of you didn't get that. In other words, if it's possible to be sick, have a psychosomatic illness, then why can't we have a pneumosomatic healing? Why can't people, when they're healed in their spirit, when their spirit's recreated, things should start to change? All right? If the will and the emotions and the mind can have effect on the body, then it's possible for the spirit to have effect on the body. That's why it's so important, again, that we renew our mind to the things of God. You know, and so we can conclude from this, and I've got a little bit more to go, that the soul is more powerful than the body, and the spirit is more powerful than the soul or the mind. All right? You have to have that spirit-soul change. You got to start letting your spirit control you. And I'll tell you what, it's change you can count on. All right? Your spirit impacts your soul. So instead of your mind dominating you, bringing you fear and all these different things that come with it, uncertainty, anxiety, having your life filled with confusion, it could be turned around through the Word of God. I'm not saying everybody go throw out your medicine. I'm not saying that one single bit. I'm just saying that healing comes from the spirit realm. Because all the medicine does is cover it. I got to take a journey here, a minute. I started to, my son Eddie lost a lot of weight. Since January, he's lost almost 50 pounds. And he keeps telling me, Dad, you got to do what I'm doing. I said, get out of here. I want to eat the fried calamari. I don't want to. You know. And at first he said, you know, I eat carbs, but then I wait 3 hours and I eat protein. I said, throws meatballs right out the window, don't it? But I watched him. And so I decided to try to do what he's doing and lost 23 pounds and have clarity. But what I found out was the same way the spirit will change your body and you change your thinking is the same way when you change your diet, healing will also take place in your body. Okay? And I'm not here trying to advocate anything like, you know, it's not a paid commercial for any kind of diet. I'm just saying I have 4 stints, high blood pressure, high triglycerides, and high sugar. Let me put it to you this way. I had.
Right.
And so I said, yeah, what do I got to lose? Let me try this. You know, I like eating that way that they eat on this diet. So to me, like, it was like, it's a no-brainer as long as I don't have to have soup. So I did this for 30 days. Actually, remember Ed Elliott was here? That was the last day I pigged out. And the next day I started. And 1 month later, I went and had blood work done. And my cholesterol went from 250 to under 200. My triglycerides went from 180 to like 125. My good cholesterol came up. My bad cholesterol went down. And my A1C, is that what it's called? Or A1C? A1C went from 6.7 to 5.7. And so, you know, what do I attribute that to? When you change, when you're willing to change, things happen. Well, if you're willing to change and you're willing to put your face and get in the Word of God and renew your spirit and fill your spirit with healthy things and take the garbage. Basically, what I'm doing is a low-carb, high-fat diet, okay? So, low-carbs means no sugar, no pasta, no starches, no root vegetables, no flour. I had to take those bad things out of my life and start replacing it with good fats, okay, and protein and limited carbs. And things changed in my life. So what we have to do, just to bring this together here, is take all the garbage out of your life and start getting in the Word of God and eating wholesome spiritual food, and your spirit will change. And guess what? Your mind will start to change. I didn't do anything but change the way I ate. Thank you for that. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. I'll end with this. I'm getting out of here early tonight. Wow. When your spirit is being fed by the Holy Spirit through the Word, here's what happens. Your values, your philosophies, and your thinking will change. And it will have a direct effect on your body. Romans chapter 8, and I'll close with this. You guys can come up here. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we're going to pick up, but we're going to talk about how we've been sanctified. We're going to look at the Spirit versus the flesh probably next week, and a couple other things here that I didn't get to tonight. And talk about the inward man. The most important part of us is the inward man, our spirit. The hidden man of the heart, that That's the most important thing that we have. And then we'll continue on going with it. But I don't hope I explained it where you it was a little bit more understanding. I'm looking out there and it's like I'm don't look like it. I did a really hot job on that one. But I was looking at my wife when she sits there like this.
Well, it's simple for me. The heart can, it has the soul and the spirit in it.
I know. Amen? Yeah, but that's great but to say that. But why does all this stuff function together?
You know, the brain is only an
You know
organ.
Me. I get crazy. I got to know the whole thing. I got to know why things happen. I just
the brain
can't.
Is an organ. That's
I just can't like, okay, I know that.
Amen.